I surrender all to everything I give to you, withholding nothing, I give myself away, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away, I give myself away so you can use me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, at the ending of last year, the beginning of this year, the Lord was speaking to me out of this passage in Isaiah 54. It says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And the Lord was really speaking to me about 2020, that it was a year to expand, a year to grow, a year to increase, to not hold back, to spare not. And so I know for me and for Penny and I, what that really meant was that this was to be a year of inward expansion, inward growth, as we desired to grow closer to the Lord, as we desired to know Him more, to go higher in Him, to go deeper in Him, to go further in Him. It was to be a year of getting to know our God better. And a major part of that is the content of this teaching today. Wanted dead and alive. Wanted dead and alive. God desires that we are drawing closer and closer to Him so that He can use us, so that we can give ourselves away. And in these last days, that is going to be so important. We have got to be in a place where we can hear the voice of God and not be drawn away by the things going on around us. This is a world that is shaken. And we don't know how much longer this shaking is going to be. But we do know that there is a shaking. But we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And that kingdom is our trust in God. That kingdom is our dependence upon Him and not on the things of this world. So we need to die to ourselves, die to sin, die to the things of this world, and live unto Him. When Jesus said that we, whosoever comes to me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What he was looking for was people. People that would follow him. Those that are wanted. Dead. In other words, deny ourselves. Take up the cross. Accept the crucifixion of Jesus. Accept the crucifixion of our lives. And then to follow him. To walk in the newness of life. Dead and alive. Let's look at the overview. Jesus says, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. So a death had to occur that life would come. To walk in the fullness of the resurrected life, there must first be a death. Anyone willing to die the deepest of deaths in Christ Jesus will attain to the highest heights of the life of God in Christ Jesus. This message today is going to be what I would call a hard message, or what you might want to say is strong meat kind of message. This call to commitment, this call to consecration, this call to a lifestyle of being dead and alive. And the way I see this is that there's going to be basically two groups of people that are going to hear this message and get two things out of it. One is they're going to hear a message of obedience. Yes, we need to step up to the plate. We need to be obedient to the Lord. We need to do all these things, to accomplish these things in order to be alive when Jesus remains. Some people will see it as that obedience message, and they may receive it in two ways. One is, yep, that's what I want. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to stick with it and be the disciple that Jesus has called me to be. Others will look at it and say, whoa, that is tough. That is hard. That is strong meat. I don't know if I'm up to that. So that is those that would hear it as the obedience message. But there's another group of people. They are going to hear it as a love message. And what I mean by that is that they are in love with Jesus. I am in love with Jesus. My wife and I are in love with Jesus. And out of that relationship that we have with him, it's not an obedience message, it's a love message. Jesus, this is what you have called me to do. This is what I want to do. I want to die to myself. I want to be all that you've called me to be. And so out of our love, out of understanding his love for us and our love then for him, we willingly, not obedience per se, but willingly, out of our love for him, want to please him, want to be all that he's called us to be. My desire is that you hear this today as a love message. And the way it becomes a love message for you is to fall more in love with Jesus, is to understand more completely the magnificent love that God has for us, that God has for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. See, part of this message, part of grasping this message that we're going to look at today is our trust in the Lord. If we don't have a revelatory understanding of His love for us, then it makes it that much more difficult to trust Him. Because to die to self is to take the dependency of our life off of ourselves and put it onto Him. It's taking the dependency of our life off of the things that we see. It's off of the world system. It's off of money and mammon. Because then we trust Him. As we withdraw from these things, as we deny ourselves, as we take up the cross, we have to trust God, that He is our provider, that He is our protector, that He is everything that we need. He takes care of us physically. He takes care of us emotionally. He takes care of us spiritually. It is a dependence on Him, a trust in Him. A message of love and a message of trust. When we have the full weight of our being on Him, trusting His love, His goodness, His power towards us, then it is easy to be able to give up, to be able to give up ourselves, to be the living sacrifice that He's called us to be, to deny ourselves, to take up the cross and follow Him. Amen. Amen. So let's start by looking at characteristics of death. Notice from our passage there in John chapter 12. He talks there about the seed, the grain of wheat. The disciples have brought to Him some Greeks, some non-covenant people that wanted to see Him. And Jesus responded and said, when that request was made, that these people want to see you, He said, "Now has the hour come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And in verse 24, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, a grain of wheat, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." It abides by itself. "But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now let's go on to verse 25. "He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." See, now he's beginning to expand a little bit what he's talking about the seed dying. See, the seed is placed into the soil, and it has a purpose. The purpose of that seed is to bring forth much fruit. But if the seed decides, "I don't want to do that. I like things the way they are. I like being this seed." Well, it remains alone. It doesn't accomplish what it has been sent to accomplish. In other words, it loses its purpose. There is a purpose for the seed. The purpose is to die so that out of it can come new life. Out of it can come fruit. So when he says, "He that loves his life," he that wants to keep his life just the way it is. And this word here, love, means affection. It's the word phileo, friendship. In other words, this person loves his life. He's emotionally attached to the life that he has. He likes it. He said, but if a person loves their life, if they become attached to it and want to keep it that way, then they end up alone, not accomplishing. So when we give up our life, as it said, if you love your life, you'll lose it. You'll lose the potential of the life that you have. You'll lose out on the fruitfulness. But if you hate your life, and that's a strong word. I mean, you know, I look in the Greek and I try to think if there's different levels of hate. But this word means to hate, to detest. To detest your life without Jesus. But if anyone detests their life, they shall find it. Because when you detest, when you hate your life, then you're willing to die to yourself. Die to your life so that you can produce the fruit. So what's really going on here is that there is a purpose that is being discussed. And that purpose for us is to give up our life, our affectioned life, and to allow that life to die so that the life of God can then bring us the real life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, says that we have been bought with a price. We're no longer our own. We have been bought with a price, and therefore we are to glorify God in our bodies. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is talking about the life of God and also about death. Let me read a couple passages to you here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. Now this follows up what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about the that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That is the treasure of Jesus living in us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the power may be of God and not of us. And then he's discussing that they had been troubled on every side. They had been persecuted. And in verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal flesh. So we see here that what Paul is talking about is he gave up his life. He was that seed. He gave himself so that he was persecuted. He was going through all this stuff. He gave up what could have been a good life for the sake of the gospel. He died to himself, took up the cross, and followed Jesus. So as he was willing and carrying about in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus, in other words, the giving up of his life like Jesus did for him, then the life of God, the power of God, the benefits of this his salvation package then manifested, revealed themselves through his life to those that he was ministering to. Paul put it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. I have given up my life. I have been crucified with Christ. My sin has been crucified with Christ. The body of sin has been destroyed. Talks about in Romans chapter 6. And on the cross was nailed all our offenses. And it was crucified with him. It talks about in Colossians chapter 2. And so we have been crucified with Christ. But we also live, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus had a very sharp, harsh word for his disciples. Starting in verse 37, Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father and mother more than me. Now, this uses the same word that we saw about loving one's life, has affection for their father, their mother. They like them. They want to be around. They have affection for them. But what does it say? Loveth father and mother more than me. In other words, their affection, their love towards Jesus is less than their father, their mother, their brother, their sister. It says, they are not worthy of me. In other words, if you're not willing to give up everything in your life for Jesus, you are not worthy of him. That means that we have reduced the value of Jesus in our life. We have made him of little value. In other words, we are not worthy of him. So we don't want to be that way. We want to love Jesus so that our discipleship with him is worthy of him. And this the passage in Luke, there's he talks about the same kind of thing. He talks about the, but he does it from the other side. He says, if you don't hate your father, your mother, your wife, your brother, your sister, your siblings, your children, if you don't hate them, then you cannot be my disciple. That's the way he puts it in Luke. So let's go on here in Matthew 10, verse 37, continuing. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Wow, these are some pretty challenging words. To take up the cross. What does that mean? Well, that was not an uncommon sight in Rome, is to see convicted criminals carrying their cross to the place of crucifixion. So when Jesus is saying, carry the cross, take up the cross, he is talking about going to the place of death. See, a prisoner, a convicted criminal, who's on his way to his execution, he has no past. Basically, his past means nothing. He has no present. His present is just carrying that cross on his way to his crucifixion. And of course, he has no future. So when Jesus is saying that we are to carry our cross, to pick up our cross and follow him, he's saying, as of now, at this point of picking up the cross, you have no past. It's already been accounted for. You have been forgiven of all your sins. The sins, the things that have happened in the past, have no bearing on your life today. And your life today is following Jesus. And your future, following Jesus. In other words, you have died to yourself and take up the cross and follow Jesus. In Mark chapter 8, I want you to see this. Mark chapter 8. This is when Peter had said to Jesus that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus begins to tell them about what he is going to suffer in Jerusalem. That they're going to Jerusalem, he's going to be crucified, he's going to be buried, and he's going to be raised on the third day. And that's when then Peter gets in front of him and says, "No, forbid it, Lord. That's not going to happen to you." And that's when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not savoring the things of God, but the things of men." And then he goes on and he says, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now, what's interesting in this passage is when Jesus says to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Peter," and he is telling Peter to get behind him. Jesus is going somewhere, and Peter is being an obstacle to where he's going. And he's saying, "You're going the wrong direction. You're not savoring the things of God. Get behind me. Get out of my way. I'm going that direction." And so the word, that's what the word "behind" means. Get behind me. But then notice in verse 34, he says, "Whosoever shall come after me." Now, what's interesting is the word "behind" and the word "after" are actually the same word in the Greek. So he's saying to Peter, "Get behind me, you're going the wrong direction." And then he says to the disciples, "If any man come after me," in other words, still get behind me, but now you're coming after me. So it's, what is our position with Jesus? See, Peter was not savoring the things of God. He was savoring the things of man. Jesus said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself." In other words, don't savor the things of yourself. Savor the things of God. So when we come after Jesus, we are, it's the direction and position that we have with Jesus. Are we following after him, denying ourselves, getting behind him and following after him? Or are we savoring the things of the world, and we may be behind him, but we're going the other direction? We need to be going in his direction, to die to ourselves, to go after him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." We are to be that living sacrifice. And in this particular part of this message, we want to focus on the sacrifice. The sacrifice, giving ourselves to him. Now, this word "sacrifice" could either be speaking about the manner, in other words, how the sacrifice happens, or it could be speaking about the sacrifice, in other words, the object that has been sacrificed. So if we look at it from the idea of the sacrificing, in other words, the process of sacrificing, we need to be a sacrifice. We need to be on an ongoing, daily basis, sacrificing ourselves to Jesus, dying to ourselves. But we also are the sacrifice itself. In other words, we are the ones who have given ourselves and are giving ourselves to Jesus on a daily basis. So as the sacrifice, we have no rights. As a sacrifice, we have no past, present, or future. We are dead. Dead to ourselves, dead to sin, dead to the things of the world. Let me lead you in a prayer. A prayer of giving ourselves wholly to Him, completely to Him. Jesus, I love you with everything that I am. I love you with all my heart. I love you with all of my soul. I love you with all of my mind. I love you with all of my strength. I show you my all-encompassing love by my uncompromising obedience. In the name of Jesus, I give you this day all of my heart, soul, and mind. My brain and memories. My five senses. My tongue. Every cell, every organ, every system. All my members. In the name of Jesus, I ask the Holy Spirit to help me so I don't take them back. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for all the gifts and abilities and all the resources and assets that you have given to me, and I willingly give them to you for the kingdom of God. You are my everything. So therefore, I give you everything. I willingly die to myself and present myself to you as a living sacrifice so I can be prepared for your use in this world. I reckon myself dead to sin and yield members as instruments of righteousness unto holiness. In the name of Jesus, I have been bought with a price. I am no longer my own, but I belong to you. So you can glorify yourself through me. Jesus, I am yours. That is a beautiful prayer of giving ourselves to Him as that living sacrifice. So as I've already said, we are dying to sin, dying to ourself, and dying to the things of this world. We have been crucified with Christ. We need to live in the light of that crucifixion. You know, many years ago, over 40 years ago, I was going through a tough period in my life. And at the time, it was kind of convenient because I was working for my parents. So I told my parents, I said, I need to take some time off. And so I took 3 or 4 days, and I went up to the mountains in the High Sierras and took some gear with me and a fishing pole, and I just needed to spend some time with God and deal with some of these challenges that was going on in my life. And I had my Bible, of course, and I also had a book about consecration from a monk from back in the dark ages of the church, Thomas Aquinas. And in reading that book and in reading the Bible, one of the things that Thomas Aquinas was talking about was this verse, this chapter in Romans chapter 12. And I remember I looked at that and I was thinking, I want to be that living sacrifice. And as I was under the weight of all the stuff that was going on in my life, And I just got to that point where I just said, I need to give everything to God. And I started from the top of my head, and I gave Him everything about me, similar to what we just did in that prayer. I gave Him everything physically about me. I gave Him everything in my being, intellectually, emotionally. I gave Him everything. And that started a real turning point in my life. So that at different points in my life, as things would get tough, I remember one time I made a commitment. I said, Lord, no matter how bad things get, I will never turn my back on You. And yeah, there have been some tough times, but I've never turned my back on the Lord. I gave myself to Him. And there were times that I wanted to back off. There were times that I didn't feel like doing things. But you know, I did it anyway. I kept serving God. I kept doing the best I could under the circumstances that I was under. And God has been faithful. I read a book one time. It was just a little booklet, and it says, others may, but you cannot. And it really struck a chord with me, because I was trying to live life on a different level in my commitment to Jesus, in dying to Him, in desiring to go higher, to go deeper, to go further with Him. And I have a feeling that some of you may be at that point today. And the Lord would say unto you, you can trust Me. I love you with an everlasting love. Yeah, the circumstances may be hard. The way forward may seem rocky and rough. But know that I am your God. I sent Jesus for you. You can trust Me. You can trust Me with your health. You can trust Me with your finances. You can trust Me with your relationships. So now may be that time where you just want to whisper under your breath, Lord, I am Yours. Lord, I want to be that living sacrifice. That living sacrifice who's dead to sin, dead to self, dead to the things of this world, and trusting completely in my God. I believe some of you are going to find burdens lifted. I believe that some of you are going to find a joy coming back into your heart that you haven't seen for a while. Because as we give ourselves to Him, as we take that step towards Him, what does the Scripture promise? That He draws nigh to us. That as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He will raise us up. As we cleanse our hands, as we mourn and weep over the way we have been, over the things that we have done, and as we give ourselves to Him, when we humble ourselves, He gives grace. When we fall upon His mercy, He gives mercy. Today, you're being set free. Amen. Be willing to give yourself, to walk worthy of Jesus as a disciple who has given themselves wholly to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Characteristics of life. Now remember, death precedes life. Now we normally think of it the other way around, that death is the end result of life. But in the kingdom, things are often upside down. Death of ourselves yields life. When the seed dies, it brings forth much fruit. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, then He lifts us up. We don't try to lift ourselves up in pride, in haughtiness, but no, we humble ourselves and He lifts us up. If we want to be the chief, if we want to be in charge and control, what does it say? It says, no, we don't do it that way. We become the servant of all. And when we are servant of all, then we are the leader that God needs us to be. So death precedes life. But boy, the life is an amazing life. Because in this life of God, we are more than conquerors. In this life of God, we can overcome everything that comes against us. In this life of God, we have all the blessings and the benefits of our salvation package. It's all for us because we have died to ourselves and we are now living unto Him. And so everything, all the amazing promises become ours as we walk in that divine nature of being that living sacrifice. Romans 6. Says that we are dead to sin. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we who are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we should walk in newness of life. In dying to ourselves, there is a newness of life. In dying to sin, there is a newness of life. That's why Paul could say, I have been crucified with Christ, but I live. Not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the life. Living by the faith of the Son of God and expecting all of the promises and the benefits that are ours. Expecting that we can do everything that God has called us to do, to be everything that He's called us to be, to fulfill our destiny. As the seed that died became the fruitful plant that multiplied. So in the same way, as we give of ourselves to the Lord, then we raise up to newness of life. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The grain bringing forth much fruit. And we are a living sacrifice. In that place of sacrifice, we are living, living for God, living for Him, and His life is flowing out of us. Now, one way of looking at this is one of the problems of being a living sacrifice is it's easy to crawl off of the altar. Well, of course, we aren't going to do that. We are that sacrifice that have given themselves wholly to the Lord. And the living part is not the part of crawling off the altar and coming out from under that sacrificial place in our lives, but it is living unto Him. So that we are a sacrifice who is living unto the Lord. I remember that story about the evangelist, and this has happened to several different evangelists, that when somebody came up to him and pointed a gun at him and said, "I'm going to kill you," and they said, "I'm dead already. You can't kill me." I mean, that is the kind of sacrifice. Notice how the trust that is in that statement. They're trusting God for their safety. They're trusting God for their very life because they have put their trust in Him. See, in giving of ourselves to the Lord, there we have got to have that trust. To die to self and the things that we would like, the things that would make our life more pleasurable, heading in directions that would be away from God, but more pleasurable. By giving up those things, we are trusting God that He's going to give us a better life, that He's going to bring that protection and everything that we need. In Romans chapter 6, it says we are to reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive unto God. Alive unto God. Because that's who we are now living for. Dead to the things of this world, but alive unto God. Focusing on Him so that we are following after. We're behind Jesus, but we're following Him. If we were to go on in that passage in John chapter 12, when Jesus talked about that he who who loves his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake, who hates his life for my sake, shall find it. He says, "For the servant will, or where the master is, the servant will be." Well, why is the servant going to be in the same place that the master is? Why? Because he's following Jesus. He's behind Jesus, following Him. We've denied ourselves, taken up the cross, and following Jesus. So we are alive unto God, following Jesus, so that where He is, we're right there with Him. So it's easy for us to fulfill our destiny because all we have to do is follow Jesus. Where is He leading us? What is He guiding us to do? What does He want us to say? We follow Him so that where He is, there we're right there. And He says, do this. Help this person. Minister to that person. Write this. Post that, you know, on the internet or whatever it might be. Speak that. Give that. We're right there being able to minister. So let's look at some ways of living in death and living in life. In Mark chapter 10, this is the story. This is the story of the rich young ruler who's come to Jesus, said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus goes through a list of things. Do this, do that. And He says, "These things I have kept from my youth." And then I love this, verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, says He loved him and said unto him. Now notice, He's beholding him and He loved him. Now He is face to face with this guy. And I can't imagine that when He was looking at Jesus eye to eye, that He couldn't see that Jesus loved him. What did Jesus say to him? "Only one thing that thou lackest. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor." And then what does He say? "And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." And it says, "And when the man heard it, he was sad, he was grieved at the saying, and went away and went away, for he had many possessions." Now, here was an example where Jesus gave this man an opportunity to die to himself. What was he doing? He was putting his trust in his riches. He had all this stuff. He had all these possessions. He was extremely rich. But he had put his hope. In other words, he loved his riches. And Jesus is saying, you've got it backwards. Sell those things. Then you will have treasure in heaven. What's he saying? Trust me. Trust your Father in heaven. And then die to yourself and come after me. Pick up your cross and follow me. Now, when the disciples heard that, it says they were astonished. Jesus, how then can a rich man be saved? Because Jesus had said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And it's like they were astonished. They couldn't believe what he was saying. And he talked to them more about that. And in verse 26, it says, and they were astonished out of measure. I mean, they were completely astonished by what Jesus had said. Why? Because one of the reasons was because they were rich men. Most of them had been business owners. Most of them had wealth. And it says, well, then how can anyone be saved? That's when Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then Peter came up to him and he said, we have left all and have followed thee. In other words, all the disciples had denied themselves and followed Jesus, taken up their cross and followed Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man who hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's, but he shall possess 100-fold in this life, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So what is it that you're putting your trust in? Where is it that you need to die so that you can have the life? Where do you need to trust God? In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus, in the parables of the kingdom, gives these two parables back to back in Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath findeth it, he sells everything that he has and buys the field so that he can have that treasure. He sold everything he had. In other words, he divested himself of everything that would be valuable to him, was valuable to him. Why would he do that? Because the treasure in the field held more value. In other words, he was willing to plant the seed of this other stuff that he had. It must have meant something to him. He had it. But he planted that seed so that he could gain the seed of the kingdom. It goes on in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found a pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The same thing. He was a buyer of pearls, which means he probably had a set of pearls. And he sold all of those pearls in order that he would gain the pearl of great price. The pearl of great price. What is it in your life that you need to divest yourself of so that you can gain all that the kingdom has for you? In Philippians chapter 3, Paul puts it like this. I'm going to start in verse 9. And he found in him, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then he goes on, not as though I have already apprehended, either were already perfect, but I follow after. He is pursuing. I follow after that I may apprehend that which I was apprehended for. Now notice in verse 10 that one of the things that he is wanting to know him, the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his death. What does that mean? Giving up of himself to death. Giving up of himself, dying to himself, that he could have all that Christ has given him. Brother, I do not count myself as having apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forth to what lies ahead, I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So we are forgetting those things that are behind, those things that don't matter anymore, and pressing forth into the new life in Christ. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Psalm 95 here is talking about the time when the children of Israel were in Kadesh Barnea, had just come through the Red Sea, had encountered God at Mount Sinai. Excuse me. And now they are at a place where they could go in. They had sent in the spies. And I'm going to start in verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. See, the people were looking at the circumstances. They were looking at these giants in the land. They were looking at the harshness of the land. And they backed off. In other words, they were not willing to die to what they saw, to die to themselves and believe the promises of God. Not like Joshua and Caleb, who were just the opposite. They saw the same things, but they also saw God. Now, what's interesting here, if you go back and look at Psalm 78, verse 41, says, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." So by their lack of being willing to die to themselves, to be willing to have faith in God, they limited what God wanted to do. They limited what God was trying to do. That is not the way we want to be. We don't want to limit God in our life, limit God in what He has called us to do or to be. Another place of living in death and living in life, "He who would be great, let him be the servant of all." From Mark 10. "But so shall it be among you. But whosoever will be great among you, he shall be your minister. Whoever of you shall be the chiefest, he shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many." So in the same way, we are to die to ourselves, not to seek to be known or seek to be the best, but in order to be recognized, in order to be promoted by God, what do? We serve those that we have been that have been entrusted to us. We serve them. It's not about us. So in other words, we've died to ourselves, and we are now serving. That's the life as we die to ourselves, and we're trusting God for the promotion. God has designed us and given us everything that we need to be victorious in our life. In Him, we cannot fail. As we are willing to die to ourselves, as we are willing to die the deepest of deaths in Christ Jesus, we will attend to the highest heights of the life of God in Christ Jesus. Make that your endeavor today. To not live for yourself, to not live for the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of sin, but instead to give yourself wholly to the Lord, to trust Him, to die to yourself, to take up the cross, and to follow Him. And the life of God, when He promises that life that we will have, it is a life far beyond what we could ever imagine. How many times have we heard and read that passage in John 10:10? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life and have it better than we've ever imagined it. Having it better than we can ever dream. Now that's the kind of life as we die to ourselves. That's the kind of life that He gives us. A life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life that benefits those us and those around us. Amen. So let's die to ourselves, to be both dead and alive, because that's what God has called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.